From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. A few weeks ago, Malaysia Goodson fell down the stairs on the New York City subway.
A young mother killed as she walked down the stairs in Manhattan.
She was holding her one-year-old daughter. The baby, thankfully, is okay. The stroller found next to the mother at the bottom of the stairs.
The lack of subway elevators now, once again, a very big issue.
The New York City medical examiner hasn't said whether the fall killed her or some other medical condition. But Malaysia Goodson's death has people talking about elevators and accessibility again. In this day and age, why are subways not accessible for everybody who needs to use them? And how is Philadelphia doing when it comes to public transit and accessibility? Today's show, Elevating SEPTA's Accessibility. I spoke with reporter Mayor Rindy and Planned Philly editor Ariella Cohen. Mayor, we had this tragic death in New York, and it got you and a lot of other people thinking about just accessibility on public transit. And you looked into people's experiences navigating SEPTA. What were some of the stories that you heard?
When I put out the word that I was interested in this, I heard from a lot of parents who said taking strollers on the subway is just, a couple people called it terrifying. Mm-hmm. I spoke with a woman named Gretchen Dahlkemper, who lives in South Philadelphia. She has three kids, and she told me about getting off a SEPTA train in Old City a few years ago with one of her kids.
Went down to get off at 2nd and Market, and the elevator is broken. And I just remember thinking, oh, what am I going to do? Because the closest subway stops at that point were Frankfurt and I think maybe 8th Street. So nothing was close. And I'm hauling this stroller up, and it's snowy and slippery and cold.
And she was pregnant at the time, and she fell.
Bruised up my legs, nothing severe, but when you're pregnant, it's scary enough to fall. And when you have a baby, that was scary. It was not a fun moment.
She basically stopped taking her kids on the subway for several years.
Ariella, you're a parent. You and a lot of other parents rely on SEPTA, right?
Yep. I'm a mom, and like a lot of moms I know, I don't always have the luxury of choice. Sometimes you need to get to that doctor's appointment. You need to get to work. You need to get to daycare. And the fastest way to do that is to take the subway. It's a problem when there's no elevators.
And you heard from a number of other people who didn't necessarily experience a fall, but say, yeah, I take the stroller up and down the stairs. I see people taking the stroller up and down the stairs, and it's kind of terrifying, right?
Oh, yeah. People say, oh, I hate doing it. I avoid the subway. I'll only go on the subway with my kids if I'm with my husband so that he can help me carry the stroller. So it's definitely a major factor shaping their approach to public transportation and to getting out of the house and doing things.
What happened to Malaysia Goodson got a lot of people talking about the fact that only a quarter of subway stations in New York have elevators. Do we know how SEPTA compares?
About two-thirds of the subway stops have elevators. That's 35 of 52 stations. And elevators are important not just for families with strollers, but for anybody who can't use the stairs, especially people in wheelchairs and people with other disabilities. And other parts of SEPTA's system haven't made as much progress in that area as the subways. There are 6 trolley lines. Only one is wheelchair accessible. The others are totally not accessible. And then the regional rail system, only about half of the stations are fully ADA accessible at this time.
Which means another half are not ADA accessible.
Exactly, yeah.
What do people in the disability community say about accessibility at SEPTA?
Well, I spoke with Herman Parodi, who's a disability rights activist in the city.
I am the president of Disabled in Action and an ADAPT organizer.
And he uses a wheelchair. And he said that there are something like 250,000 people with disabilities in Philadelphia. They really depend on mass transit. Maybe half of them, he estimated, use public transportation. It works for them a lot of the time, but they run into some major issues as well. For example, he actually ran into 2 broken elevators in one night.
I left a meeting I had at Center City.
It was a very cold night during that cold snap we had recently.
The temperatures dipped below zero with the windshield.
The station he tried to get into on Market Street, elevator was broken. He had to roll a few blocks, go into another station where the elevator worked. He got on the train, went to his neighborhood.
Got off at my regular station at Erie and Torresdale, go to the elevator, I pressed the button, the elevator opened. I went in and pressed the button to go up. The door closed, and the elevator didn't move. I tried this multiple times, hoping it would, because it is the only way I can get out of the station. I cannot walk. I use my wheelchair all the time, and I cannot use the steps.
It's freezing, and he just has to sit there for 10, 15 minutes in the cold until he can go to another station, get out, and then roll on his wheelchair in the cold for half an hour to get home.
Right, because he's already now a stop past the station he wanted to get off at.
Yeah, it ended up being a long night for him, I think.
Ariella, why isn't the system more accessible?
The system was built mostly in the early 20th century and was built with commuters in mind. At that time, commuters were mostly men going to work, coming home. They weren't taking kids. The kids were mostly at home with mom. And then ADA compliance, it just wasn't a thing. ADA didn't happen until 1990, and we weren't building systems with the needs of people with different needs in mind. It's not only subways. You look at a library. Those old, beautiful libraries have dozens of steps leading up, homes even, those big brownstone steps. Those houses were built without considering the needs of someone in a wheelchair.
What are some of the major barriers to accessibility?
Well, there's money. That's a huge, huge issue. Every time you need to build an elevator or do the renovations necessary to make a station compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act, it costs a few million dollars at least. SEPTA wants to do that, but it's competing with a lot of other priorities. And SEPTA relies on federal grants. Those grants, they're not always forthcoming. It can take years to secure them. So SEPTA has a number of improvements it would like to do, but it's waiting on the funds.
The reason the cost is so high is because you have this system that in some places is 100 years old, and you've got 100 years of infrastructure built over it. You've got electric lines, sewer lines, all kinds of stuff.
It's amazing how much is actually underground that the public's not aware of.
As Assistant General Manager Bob Lund at SEPTA told me, they have to squeeze an elevator in between all that old infrastructure.
There's a significant amount of utility relocation and coordination and costs and time associated with doing all that.
There's also the issue of having to shut down stations or partly shut down stations for a while. You can only do so much of that at once without disrupting people's commute to work. So there are some practical and financial considerations there.
Is any of this going to change? Is the system going to get more accessible?
Yeah, SEPTA is continuing to work on that. They have a goal of 100% accessibility. So they have a couple stations that they're working on now, and they say that in the next few months, there will be elevators installed there. And then there's a big ongoing project at City Hall and 15th Street, which is the big transfer station, the heart of the system. $150 million. They've already put in a few elevators. They're going to be putting in several more over the next several years. So they're continuing to work on it.
Ariella, what about elevator maintenance? Both of the people we heard from before, Gretchen Dahlkemper, the mom, and Herman Parodi, who uses a wheelchair, they both ran into problems when an elevator that was already there just wasn't functioning the way it was supposed to. Is SEPTA working on that?
Well, SEPTA views maintenance as a part of accessibility. Bob Lund, the assistant general manager, spoke on that.
Accessibility goes beyond just the initial construction. It is, you know, we have to maintain it, keep it safe and operational at all times. And so it's a continuous effort at all levels of, from start of design, saying I want to make it accessible, and continuing through keeping it accessible every day.
And they say that they check and clean every elevator twice a day.
Yes, there are challenges. Frankly, they can get abused, they can get people holding them, you know, everything that you can imagine out there. So it's a challenge that we are aware of, and we try to stay on top of it.
You know, cases like Malaysia Goodson are a kind of a rare, you know, worst case scenario that a lot of people might be afraid of. But is there any other reason why it's so important to address this issue than simply preventing deaths?
In a city like Philadelphia, where it's difficult to get around without a working public transit system, that transit system needs to work for families. It needs to work for people with wheelchairs or different physical needs. And so it just becomes an issue of exclusion, really, where certain people can't reach the places they need to get. In my life, I see it all the time, the issue of accessibility. I want to take my girls, my two daughters, somewhere on the weekend, and we rely on SEPTA to get there. I can't carry our stroller by myself while also making sure that we're safe. So we have to stay in our neighborhood. Accessibility, it's a right. And that's something we heard when we talked to Herman Perotti.
People who use wheelchairs, perhaps parents who are using strollers, now are not only inconvenienced, but discriminated against by SEPTA by not providing equal access through its platform.
Mayor Ariella, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And that's it for the show. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. Also, thanks to our intern, Xavier Lopez. Subscribe to the podcast, and don't forget to leave a review. You can find us on Twitter at Shai Ben Yaakov, at Alex Ray Stern, or at Annette JH. We'll be back tomorrow.